Ladies and gentlemen, this is Steve Eyes. You're on the Eyes is Watching channel, January the 26th, 2022. Now, as we take a look at what's happening around the world, we can't help but notice that governments are working in lockstep with one another. It is painfully obvious to watch them implement the plan at the same exact time and then pull back at the exact same time when the pushback is too severe. How are people not seeing this? I know we do, but it is so obvious that they are doing this at the exact same time. Restrictions around the world are loosening, but they're also discussing changing the definition of fully vaccinated to also include the third shot. This is also being discussed everywhere around the world at the same time. How interesting is that? Governments are working in lockstep with each other, no pun intended, but Rockefeller document called Lockstep discussed all this word for word in 2010. Ladies and gentlemen, I was going through the document a little earlier and I had to laugh out loud. Like, I couldn't even read it without laughing because they literally discussed this word for word and how there's going to be a pandemic around the world. The governments are going to impose this totalitarianism, all these restrictions, mask mandates, destroy small businesses. And once the threat of the virus dies out, those restrictions will still be in place. Kind of like how after 9/11, they had the TSA and all those high security protocols in the airports, which ended up lasting forever. And no one's questioning anything about it because of a big, dangerous event that happened. An engineered emergency. Now, I'm going to go over some of this document, even though I know a lot of people have went through it. I don't think I've read some of this on this podcast, but I need to read it because it is so important more now than ever. All of this was said word for word. Look at this, guys. Operation Lockstep. Rockefeller document right here. Look at the graphics they have here. I mean, isn't this insane? They have like cameras all over the place watching people, scenario narratives. Unbelievable. So lockstep, a world of tighter top-down government control and more authoritarian leadership with limited innovation and growing citizen pushback. In 2012, the pandemic that the world had been anticipating for years finally hit. Remember, this was written in 2010, so they're just giving you a hypothetical date of when this pandemic would occur. So it said, unlike 2009's H1N1, this new influenza strain originating from wild geese was extremely virulent and deadly. Even the most pandemic-prepared nations were quickly overwhelmed when the virus streaked around the world, infecting nearly 20% of the global population and killing 8 million in just 7 months, a majority of them healthy young adults. The pandemic also had a deadly effect on economies. International mobility of both people and goods screeched to a halt, debilitating industries like tourism and breaking global supply chains. Even locally, normally bustling shops and office buildings sat empty for months, devoid of both employees and customers. The pandemic blanketed the planet, though disproportionate numbers died in Africa. Not over here, not in this actual pandemic that we had. People weren't even affected that much in Africa. Southeast Asia and Central America, where the virus spread like wildfire in the absence of official containment protocols. But this is very interesting, actually, in the real pandemic that we had happen, the places that had no containment protocols whatsoever did great. It was only the nations that mass vaccinated immediately and imposed draconian restrictions are where people died in higher rates and the virus spread more rapidly. Would you look at that? But even in developed countries, containment was a challenge. The United States' initial policy of strongly discouraging citizens from flying proved deadly in its leniency, accelerating the spread of the virus, not just within the US, but across borders. However, a few countries did far better. China in particular. Would you look at that? The praising of China continues. This is very important to know because they also did this here. China will be used as an example of great governance. It's a system there that really works. Communism is great. So China will be the new model of this new world order. If there's one world government and you want to know how that government's going to operate, well, just look at China. In my personal opinion, it's going to be something like in between China and North Korea. Right now, in this document as well, they're praising China for how they handled this hypothetical pandemic. And in reality, we also praised China. All of our news networks, the mainstream news, was saying, look at how well China contained the virus. I mean, while we had mask mandates, wearing our masks, locked down completely, China was totally celebrating. Big concerts in Wuhan, no one wearing a mask. I mean, look at how great communism is, folks. Isn't that amazing? So it says here, the Chinese government's quick imposition and enforcement of mandatory quarantine for all citizens, as well as its instant and near hermetic sealing off of all borders, saved millions of lives, stopping the spread of the virus far earlier than any other country and enabling a swifter post-pandemic recovery. How amazing is China? China's government was not the only one that took extreme measures to protect its citizens from risk and exposure. During the pandemic, national leaders around the world flexed their authority and imposed airtight rules and restrictions, from the mandatory wearing of face masks to body temperature checks at entries to communal spaces like train stations and supermarkets. Even after the pandemic faded, this more authoritarian control and oversight of citizens and their activities stuck and even intensified in order to protect themselves from the spread of increasingly global problems. Global problems require global solutions. One world government, anyone? From pandemics and transnational terrorism to environmental crisis, guys. Ah, climate change coming soon. And it says, and rising poverty, which they themselves manufacture. So it's just funny how the Rockefellers would even bring that up. Leaders around the world took a firmer grip on power. At first, the notion of a more controlled world gained wide acceptance and approval. Isn't that interesting? Citizens willingly gave up some of their sovereignty and their privacy to more paternalistic states in exchange for greater safety and stability. Citizens were more tolerant and even eager, that's a funny word, eager for top-down direction and oversight. And national leaders had more latitude to impose order in the ways they saw fit. In developed countries, this heightened oversight took many forms. Biometric IDs for all citizens, for example. I mean, interesting. 2010, they already knew what they were gonna do, and they're imposing it. It's absolutely wild. And tighter regulation of key industries whose stability was deemed vital to national interests. And many developed countries enforced cooperation with a suite of new regulations and agreements, slowly but steadily restored both order and, importantly, economic growth. Across the developing world, however, the story was different and much more variable. Top-down authority took different forms in different countries, hinging largely on the capacity, caliber, and intentions of their leaders. In countries with strong and thoughtful leaders, citizens' overall economic status and quality of life increased. In India, for example, air quality drastically improved after 2016 when the government outlawed high-emitting vehicles. So it carries on to explain how, because of the pandemic, governments worked together to impose more restrictions because of climate change. It's like they knew exactly what they were going to do. So first, a global threat of a virus would bring in global communism and have all these restrictions imposed on us. And because those restrictions, they will say, worked because of the virus, well, why not just impose restrictions right away over climate change as well? They had this planned out for very long. So guys, if all of this is over and they say all the restrictions are loosened, prepare very soon, I'm going to discuss this a little later, for climate lockdowns and restrictions imposed because they're trying to save the climate. It's written all here, folks. In Ghana, the introduction of ambitious government programs to improve basic infrastructure and ensure the availability of clean water for people led to a sharp decline in waterborne diseases. So simulations like this, I find, are very interesting. The truth is best hidden in plain sight. Why be secret about their plans? Just write it all in a document, put it out there for the world to see. That way they can gaslight you and make you seem crazy. So they could say, well, what do you think? We're just going to take over the world and write down our plans for everyone to see? What are you, crazy? Why would we do something like that? That is why they put out these documents. They have these simulation / exercises, Event 201. You know, we can go over all of the simulations. It's almost laughable how coincidental they go with reality, and people don't seem to notice. It just goes over people's head. If you tell people, like, look, there's a document, 2010 document, Rockefellers explained all this was going to happen. They're like, oh, really? They would put out their document about how they would take over the world. Why would they do something like that? It's so nonsensical why they would do that. But now you know how diabolical and genius it is to just put out your plans for everyone to see. Now, in this document, they obviously praise the Communist Party of China for how they handled the virus. Isn't that just such a great system of governance? Communist governments get things done a lot more efficiently. Am I right? Isn't communism amazing? Oh, you disagree? I bet your kid doesn't disagree with all that brainwashing in their public schools. Being brainwashed with Marxism taught by a purple-haired feminist with a bull nose ring and a hammer and sickle neck tattoo. That's where you're sending your kids, folks. See, America has been infiltrated by these communists. I believe it was around 1918 where they infiltrated all of the colleges in America and universities around the same time the Bolshevik communist takeover happened in Soviet Russia. It happened around the same time. But in America, they knew they needed patience with Americans, so they were going to infiltrate and destroy it from within. Corrupt your children's minds through the school system until they are demoralized completely. And this way, even if you explain to them all the horrors that communism brings, they will not accept what you are telling them because they are so demoralized and are convinced that their government is pure evil. And they need a new system. Not only that, but they demand it. And now that this pandemic took place, now they're looking at China like, yeah, we need that over here. Not only that, but we need that around the world. Remember, folks, China is going to be the new model of the new world order. So if we have one world government, remember, it's going to be something like China. And it's interesting, Klaus Schwab and the Davos group had that meeting, and Klaus Schwab introduced Xi Jinping as Your Excellency. The way he was introducing him before he brought him out was like someone introducing the new leader of the whole world.
Distinguished heads of state and government, Your Excellencies, dear partners and members of the World Economic Forum, dear participants and friends, a very warm welcome to all of you to the opening of the Davos Agenda Week. I'm delighted that such a great global audience is joining us today, bringing together key leaders from politics, business, and all aspects of society. 2021 is a pivotal year, decisive in so many ways to shape our future. 2021 will be the critical year to re-establish trust in our ability to shape our common future in collective and constructive ways. We must win the fight against the virus. We must reinvigorate global economic growth and make it more robust, more resilient, more inclusive, and more sustainable. And at the same time, we must accelerate the transition to a net zero economy.
Net zero
in view
economy.
Of this objective, it's my distinct honor and great privilege to introduce our opening speaker of the Davos Agenda Week, His Excellency Xi Jinping, President of the People's Republic of China.
Wow.
Mr. President, we all remember your historic speech in Davos in 2017.
And okay, that's just wild, man. They're praising him like he's really the king of the world or something. It's really wild what's happening here. Even Bill Gates recently came out and wished China a happy new year. Like, the way he was talking about them, you know, they're really being praised. Like, that's the new system we must all implement around the world. Look at this psycho.
I want to wish everyone in China a very happy Lunar New Year. Just as the tiger symbolizes vitality and health, our foundation has continued to work over this past year
by depopulating the
Earth. Recent troubling and highly contagious Omicron variant means the COVID-19 pandemic is not yet over.
Wow.
Since the onset of the pandemic, China has worked hard to not only contain the virus, but also contributed to closing the equity gap by supporting other countries with many different supplies, including great vaccines. I'm hopeful that by the end of this new year, the COVID pandemic will largely be over. I was also thrilled to hear the news that in June, that the WHO had recognized China's remarkable success in defeating malaria, declaring the country officially free from the disease. So, like many of you, I believe the world can become better, And I know that innovation and collaboration are key to getting there.
Wow.
I look forward to once again being able to travel to China to see all of you and this work in person. But for now, have a wonderful holiday and a very healthy and happy new year.
He's a psychopath. I'm telling you right now, people that have studied Bill Gates and followed him and, you know, really looked into his life are 100% convinced that he is a real psychopath. Like, if you bring up how he depopulates and like kills people, he bursts out laughing. Like, he's that kind of person. Like, he's like, oh, I love it. I mean, you shoot the vaccine into children's arms. Like, it's just beautiful when we do that. It's like, he is just, I mean, he's more than happy to do this, folks. And he's praising China as well. I mean, it's very interesting. They love the Chinese people. Like, the Chinese people pretty much go along with everything they're told. There's no pushback whatsoever. Bill Gates is going to introduce a new vaccine in China and they'll just take it. Doesn't matter. CRISPR tech, they'll just like, he'll tell them, hey, this is CRISPR tech. We're going to change your DNA. They'll take it right away. If the government tells them, they'll listen. That's why all of these so-called elites, self-proclaimed elites, I know you guys seen that video where the woman was just calling, they call themselves the elites. I mean, it's just wild. They all love China because there's like no pushback and they're going to be the new role model country, and those citizens are going to be the new role model citizen. I'm convinced that if there's any CRISPR tech in the vaccines, they're trying to rewire your DNA to be more Chinese. That's right. But it's interesting that the loosening of restrictions is happening around the world at the same time. But they're also clamping down harder in some places. I believe, you know, this is because they're still doing beta tests on if this works or not. I know a lot of people telling me, no, it's over. Like, it's going right back to normal. But because some countries are absolutely not pulling back on the restrictions and they are still mandating, like, compulsory vaccinations, tells me something else. They're still trying to see if it works in certain nations, and then they're going to implement them in other places. Governments around the world are discussing whether or not to change the definition of fully vaccinated to 3 doses. All governments around the world are doing this at the same time.
What we really are working to do is pivot the language to make sure that everybody is as up to date with their COVID-19 vaccines as they personally could be, should be, based on when they got their last vaccine. Wow. So importantly, right now, we're pivoting our language. We really want to make sure people are up to date. That means if you recently got your second dose, you're not eligible for a booster, you're up to date. If you are eligible for a booster and you haven't gotten it, you're not up to date, and you need to get your booster in order to be up to date.
Wow. So now it's not fully vaccinated. They just call it up to date. Are you up to date or not? Okay, well, then your vaccine passport is invalid. Up to date. Isn't that wild? I mean, if you said this a year ago, that there's going to be a third dose required to validate your vaccine passport, your tweet will be taken down. Your account will be given a warning for spreading misinformation. Isn't this interesting that they just come out and tell you now? They'll straight up tell you like, oh yeah, okay, conspiracy theorists were right for the millionth time. But even in Canada, people, they're also discussing this. As you can see here, what a title we got here. 2-dose passport almost worthless. Ottawa medical experts call for 3-dose document. Would you look at that? And this is 4 days ago, pretty much the exact same day, I would say, or a day after the CDC came out and changed their language. Happens around the world at the exact same time. This was a massive psyop. The people seem to think they have won this. But just look at everything these scumbags in charge have achieved these past 2 years. They got the majority of people used to being slaves, accepting the fact they have zero God-given rights and that the government can take away their rights at any time over emergencies that they themselves engineer. Humans conditioned into accepting lockdowns. So now they are perfectly primed for climate lockdowns. I was reading an article that made me laugh. Check this out. I mean, you can't help but just laugh when you read a title like this. CNN, how coronavirus lockdowns may have led to less lightning in 2020. Lockdowns are amazing. I mean, you already know where they're going with this. They spoke about this on the Rockefeller document. They said, first, we're going to do this worldwide lockstep restriction mandate around the world, and then the virus is going to die out, but then we're going to bring them back for climate lockdowns. I mean, they just said it. And as you can see here, the media organizations around the world are working in lockstep with one another as well. They're going to prime people for these climate lockdowns. I mean, don't you just want to be inside? Every time you step outside, you're causing earthquakes, you're causing hurricanes. It's all because of you. You and your damn CO2 levels. Not only that, but you're a virus-spreading, disease-ridden being that just causes volcanoes to go off. That's your fault. Now, over half of the Earth's population are injected with a deadly poison that targets the weak points of their bodies and stops their cells from regenerating, causing accelerated natural death. This is why we are seeing people look years older just a few months after their injections. This also explains the Alzheimer's cases going up. Self-assembling nanobots collecting into the brain so 5G can control their minds at a flip of a switch. I mean, they're discussing this and they've admitted they have this technology. So the elites can turn the jabbed into mindless zombies that target the unvaccinated. If this is the case, the governments wouldn't need police or military to do their dirty work. They just need more than half of the Earth's population injected so that they can be mind controlled into becoming mindless drones controlled with a computer by the elite. And all the people that are injected can easily be shot with a direct energy weapon because of these nanobot sensors whenever the elites are done with the useful idiots. So first they'll use them to try to go into war with us, and then they can easily, at a flip of a switch, kill everyone off after this major war happens. Zuby had an important tweet right here. Zuby Music on Twitter said, "Stop falling into the false framing of the vaccinated versus the unvaccinated. It's literally a political and media psyop designed to play off innate human tribalism and turn people against each other by redirecting their frustration. Stop being so easy to manipulate." You know, it is so wild that people are even falling for this. It's neither the vaccinated nor the unvaccinated who have been screwing you nonstop for 2 years. Stop hating and blaming your neighbors. If you are angry, direct your anger to those people who are screwing you. Don't be their foot soldiers. So we're seeing this happen now. It's wild that this even needs to be said. The people that are doing this to you are clearly the scumbags that were appointed as leaders of the world. Now, the fact that people are getting so angry at all this, and then the government can easily redirect that anger towards the unvaccinated, it's insane that people would fall for that. Standard divide and conquer used by tyrants. To have the people fight each other so they're too busy to pay attention to those that are destroying our lives. Now, the World Economic Forum is even saying that climate is going to be the biggest issue we face in 2022. Of course, how convenient is this timing? As you can see here on this article, World Economic Forum warns cyber risks add to climate threat. I mean, what? But you know, they just connect all these things that don't make any damn sense at all. You know, they'll connect the virus to the climate, to lightning strikes, and now it's cyber attacks as well. Remember what Klaus Schwab said? Prepare for a cyber attack coming soon. See, they'll probably put out a new vaccine soon that helps your body lower CO2 levels and CO2 emissions. And because people are so used to repeated injections, they'll happily get injected in order to save the earth, of course. That vaccine will lower your CO2 emissions, all right? Remember, the goal is to get CO2 emissions down to a net zero. Let that sink in, whatever that means. Articles were written justifying covert bioenhancements through injections. So people, if you ever had the idea like, oh, they wouldn't do that secretly, just inject people with some substances that they're not aware of. No, they will. And they've discussed in science articles for years now if they can justify injecting people with whatever they want for the greater good and for the environment. As you can see here on National Library of Medicine, folks, on PubMed.gov. Shout out to Math Easy Solutions for sending me this, if you guys want to go subscribe to him on YouTube. But it says, compulsory moral bioenhancement should be covert. I mean, they've been discussing this for the longest time. Some theorists argue that moral bioenhancement ought to be compulsory. I take this argument one step further, arguing that if moral bioenhancement ought to be compulsory, then its administration ought to be covert rather than overt. This is to say that it is morally preferable for compulsory moral bioenhancement to be administered without the recipients knowing that they have received the enhancement. My argument for this is that if moral bioenhancement ought to be compulsory, then its administration is a matter of public health, and for this reason should be governed by public health ethics. I argue that covert administration of a compulsory moral bioenhancement program better conforms to public health ethics than does an overt compulsory program. In particular, a covert compulsory program promotes values such as liberty, utility, equality, and autonomy better than any overt program does. Thus, a covert compulsory moral bioenhancement program is morally preferable to an overt moral bioenhancement program. So they've discussed this for a while. If it's justifiable to covertly inject you with whatever they want, as long as it's good for the climate. So they've discussed this. We don't know what they injected all these people with, but they damn sure won't tell you. They've already came to the conclusion that they don't need to. It's better for the earth. You have the elites on top that determine where the earth should head and where humanity should head. So they are going to inject you with whatever they want to inject you with. They've discussed this, and this article was actually written in 2018, August 29. Would you look at that? So as you can see with this article, they've been debating whether or not to covertly inject us with things like CRISPR tech for the longest time. Clearly, they have made their decision. Changing your DNA is for the greater good, of course. It will be better for the environment. You're so selfish with your unchanged organic DNA. What are you doing? They knew the majority of people on Earth would refuse these bioenhancement CRISPR injections, so they lied about a virus. If you were told they were going to change your DNA with some injection because it'll help fight climate change, what would you say? Well, they knew what your response was going to be, so they justified injecting you with whatever by convincing themselves it's better for the earth. They called them vaccines even though they weren't. Even calling them gene therapy is wrong because that suggests they help in some way. A therapy means to treat or heal a disorder. Thousands of blood clots all over your body isn't exactly a therapy. But the sinister caveat here is they did tell people they were mRNA technology. So they didn't 100% lie here. They told you it was mRNA, something that tells your cells to produce a deadly pathogen. They openly told people that. So, you know, it's not fully lying here. They didn't lie about that. I guess this half-truth helps the Satanist scumbags sleep better at night. But of course, not every person is needed in the fourth industrial revolution. There's too many people on the earth, so they need to depopulate first. You can't have 8 billion people on earth connected into these 5G networks. There isn't enough room in these smart cities for everyone. Now we know why there are so many different batches. This is a great read here. I'm not sure who wrote it, but this is very interesting here. Shout out to whoever wrote this. The argument that COVID restrictions winding down proves wrong those who warned that technocrats were exploiting it to rapidly expand their power base is silly. As always, they always go for a power grab greater in size than that which they can maintain. Then even if they only achieve 25% of that power grab, they're still 25% further along than when they started. There is only one way to eat an elephant. A bite at a time. The residual emergency powers and precedents that were set largely remain in place, which is why the argument about the devastation caused by lockdowns need to become more intense. We must not simply move on. This is very interesting here. Because here in BC, Bonnie Henry, folks, Bolshevik Bonnie Henry, public health official in British Columbia, came out on Friday and said they're going to treat Omicron like the average flu or cold. Would you look at that? After all the propaganda scaring people to death about the most dangerous pandemic ever, killing young, old, healthy, and unhealthy, doesn't matter, they come out and say this virus has finally mutated into a mild disease that's similar to a common cold. In reality, what they did was rename almost every disease in the book at the beginning, right? COVID. But we're already seeing insane articles like this. After Bonnie Henry said, okay, we're going to start loosening restrictions here. I mean, just look at the articles you see here, guys. It feels like betrayal. Vulnerable families respond to COVID-19 changes as BC's top doctor defends approach. So people are already coming out angry. How dare you, Bonnie? for loosening restrictions. You're going to kill us all. We're going to start seeing these articles repeatedly because this is a way, as long as they can build up this new narrative of people are demanding us to bring back restrictions, they will do it. So I see these articles all the time. Apparently, there's so many families out there just so angry that Bonnie Henry said something like that. Omicron is dangerous, is going to kill everyone. Why would you say that? So Bonnie Henry came out and said Omicron is going to be treated like your average cold. It's nothing to be worried about. But they are extending the vaccine QR code system until the end of June. Let that sink in right there. There's no need, apparently, for new contract tracing, but we still need to use the vaccine passport system. It's almost like they brought in the virus, the threat of the virus, just so they can implement this new system. They're not going to give away and let this system go to waste, people. This is what they always wanted. They wanted a global digital currency, social credit score, everything tied into one thing. And these vaccine passports are the way to initiate the rest of the plan. I feel like even though a lot of places are loosening restrictions, there's going to be some public health officials that are going to keep going along with the plan. Preferably someone that's very soft-spoken and less threatening. Maybe Bonnie Henry. This is why around the world, they're saying no need for vaccine passports. But Bonnie Henry says, no, we're going to still need that here. Let that sink in to the end of June, apparently. Because at June, they can also extend it. And all they would have to do is extend it for just a few months until flu season starts getting back. And then they can falsify data and use a fraudulent PCR test to raise the case rates again for next winter. And then they can bring in the vaccine passport system for the rest of winter. Because winter is when it's easy to implement the vaccine passport system or justify more restrictions. Because so much people are getting sick. I mean, there's a new virus out there. They're going to have some kind of new variant. That story of this big truck with a bunch of lab monkeys they were testing out that came from, I don't know where. It was like a different country. And the truck crashed. And all the monkeys escaped that were headed to a lab. And this woman that walked through feces to help one of the monkeys grabbed the monkeys. And then the monkey bit her or something. And now she's feeling ill in the emergency room. I mean, you know, it's just like the perfect made up story for them. But they're having so many different plan B's and C's. I feel like they have Russia off to the side. They tell them to build along the side of Ukraine's border there. And they also have all these new variants and monkey viruses that they might use soon. But what they're doing is they have all of these new plans, and then through data harvesting, they can see where people's fear level is on that particular topic. So if the majority of people are reacting very positively in the elite's eyes to that particular threat, that's the one they're going to go with. And we don't know what they're going to do yet, but they're going to do something about, you know, there's going to be a new major threat. Remember, the major goal here for the World Economic Forum is to destroy all Western democracies. So they're going to figure out a way how they can collapse the system. But as you can see here, all these new articles of people so angry that Bonnie Henry would loosen restrictions. How dare you, Bonnie? The state-run media is working relentlessly to brainwash the people again into demanding more lockdowns. You can tell the governments around the world aren't happy about this. Richard Zussman, the biggest scumbag in BC, reporter for Globalist News, is already pushing the narrative that the weakening of the virus is due to people getting vaccinated and proof that the vaccine passports work. I mean, insane. So just look at this psychotic imbecile and what he's written here. Today's COVID briefing will be jarring to many. We are treating COVID at a public health level in BC like the flu or cold. If you are sick, stay home. Most people can't get tested. If you are a close contact, you can live your life. You feel okay, live your life. That's what Bonnie Henry said. Richard Zussman replies to that and says, the only way we got to this point is due to vaccinations and restrictions. Vaccine cards will be around for a while. Mass vaccination clinics will continue. COVID safety plans are part of life. Only because of this is the province changing the way people manage COVID. I mean, it is just so insane what's going through these people's brains right here. if they do have brains. This man is just a flat out psychopath. You know, the stuff he tweets is just insane. People need to understand this is the majority of people in Vancouver right here, or in BC, I would say. I'm not sure about all BC, but I'm from Vancouver, people. And this is 100% how people think. Oh, it looks like the vaccines are working. We'll never get rid of vaccine passports. I mean, the reason why the case rates aren't high and the hospitals aren't overwhelmed is because of the vaccine passport. So they're not going to give it up that easily. So Bonnie Henry also claimed this as well. And this is why they're not getting rid of the vaccine passports. I mean, it shows it works. It's the same playbook every time. Force us into a lockdown because they don't want the hospitals overwhelmed. The hospitals end up not being overwhelmed as always. And the Satanist scumbags take the credit and say, well, that's because we put everyone under a lockdown. Same thing here. Lowering the amplification cycles on the PCR test to lower the case numbers and say the mass vaccinations and vaccine passports are working. Thank God for our totalitarian measures, because all of you would be dead without us. People have built trauma bonds with these public health terrorists. Most people have accepted this new way of living here in the major cities in Canada. The fact that people think things are going back to normal is confusing me. This confusion and free-floating anxiety has people perplexed and living in the now. Almost to the point that the part of their brain that holds long-term memory has shut down. Around the world, they loosened restrictions and then clamped back down repeatedly over the last 2 years. I mean, articles like this from 2021, folks. So this is in March 2021. BC loosening restrictions on outdoor gatherings ahead of March break. People seem to forget that they did this last year. I mean, isn't that perfect? It's going to happen all the time around summertime. People are going to be outside getting more exercise, more vitamin D. People are not going to get as sick. So people, you know, the governments are going to loosen restrictions for people. But then once September hits and then the weather starts changing, people get more sick and they said, oh no, there's a new variant out. They're going to put people under lockdown again. Remember what the WHO says, guys. The variants are always mutating. So a mild variant can turn into a very deadly one at any time. The pandemic is far from over. Remember, confusion is key for the hypnotist. You are conditioned into a permanently confused state so you can be easily manipulated. WHO coming out and saying governments around the world should loosen restrictions and stop demanding proof of vaccinations for travel, at the same time saying the pandemic is far from over and that a new deadly variant can emerge at any time. The critical point of this massive psyop was to get you conditioned into getting your rights and freedoms taken away from you at any time. At any given time, the government can declare an emergency and lock everyone down. Most people have accepted this new way of living and accepted it as the new normal, if you will. If you don't want this to happen again, then why haven't you gotten rid of every single politician around the world for orchestrating this fraud? You say people have woken up to the BS and won't tolerate it anymore, but yet you still allow the same compromised Satanist terrorists to stay in office after the crimes against humanity and mass genocide. We will never go back to normal unless every single politician around the world who orchestrated this is out of office. If someone spends years in prison for a crime they didn't commit and they are found innocent, that person is compensated millions for their false imprisonment. Well, we've suffered under these criminal terrorists for 2 years. There was no virus. Germ theory is a fraud. They lied about everything. Forced people to wear masks knowing this would cause a mass increase in diseases. Permanent psychological damage in everyone, especially children. The masks cause bacterial lung infection, low blood oxygen levels, shallow breathing. It's harder to breathe, so you start breathing through your mouth, which in turn doesn't get you enough oxygen to your brain, which can make people stupid. The mass poisoning of the people through deadly injections that are 100% proven to kill people. Coercing people into getting these death shots and refusing any medical exemptions. Reports of people having severe allergic reaction to the first shot, trying to get a medical exemption for the second shot because they need it to work, them being denied the medical exemption, then getting their second shot and then dying. We hear multiple reports of this. And the doctors not giving a medical exemption because they're worried they will lose their medical license. I mean, the criminality is next level. This is as demonic as it could get. Let's not forget the psychological torture they put us through. Banning all traveling, banning accounts on social media for anyone speaking out against the Depop poison clot shots, banning credible people that are well-versed in the subject, silencing all opposing views just to get the mass of people sterilized and culled, lying saying that once you get your two doses, will go back to normal. Then turning around saying, oops, the vaccines weren't as effective as we thought. You still have to wear a mask and social distance, and then placing everyone under a mini lockdown, regardless of vaccination status, ruining another Christmas 2 years in a row. Where is our compensation for this hell we've experienced under these demons? What is their punishment? Are we just going to forget everything they've done because they loosened restrictions and gave you back some of your rights they were in no position to take away in the first place? Are we just going to forget everything happened and go right back to normal? Absolutely not. The Satanist scumbags in charge need to be held accountable for what they've done. We're not going back to normal unless every single politician, public health official, those in charge that orchestrated this are out of office. This won't stop. We cannot forget what they have done to us. I can't believe they're even discussing this. This is absolutely insane, folks. I really hope they don't ever put this out, but Yale scientists invent wearable COVID detector that can tell you how infectious your workplace is. I said on Twitter, imagine how many hypochondriacs are going to be wearing these. Imagine someone yelling at you because their little device is going off in the grocery store. They're saying, stay away from you. You have COVID. My device is beeping. I mean, just, I can't believe they're going to put something like this out. I'm so pissed off about this because you know how crazy it's going to get. Keys and wallet, check. Face mask and hand sanitizer, check. Wearable COVID monitor, not yet, but maybe soon. I mean, I'm not going to even read this article. It's just going to piss me off, but no. Simple as that, no. Here's a person that would wear that device, though, on Twitter. At Big Mike Small on Twitter, folks. How long are we going to allow the tail to wag the dog in Canada? The anti-vaccine minority of less than 10% are stopping businesses from opening, hospitals from performing surgeries, kids from having open schools. Also, people are dying every day. Is this our Canada or theirs? ? First response. Look at the first reply to him. Our right-wing press is helping them. I mean, just look at this psychotic tweet. These are the people, folks. And I would say this is the majority of people in places like Vancouver and Toronto. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. The majority, absolutely. I hear it all the time, you know, at work, you know, grocery stores. You hear this kind of stuff all the time. It's never ending. Breaking news, folks. Neil Young's music will be removed from Spotify after objecting to Joe Rogan's podcast. The irrelevant fossil Neil Young thinks he's relevant. I mean, this is just wild, folks. He said, if Joe Rogan's on Spotify, well, you can take me off of there. I hate the anti-vaxxers. I mean, this is all controlled, guys. Joe Rogan is funded by the same people that implemented this depopulation agenda. And apparently Alex Jones is as well. Can't be too sure of it, but I was watching a interview with someone I'm going to show you guys right now. His name is Brendan O'Connell. On YouTube, folks, this man discusses the globalists and the whole agenda. He's very well versed in this stuff. He knows his shit. So he was on a podcast, I believe, interview with American Special Forces about Israel, cyber, and national security. Now listen to what he says about Alex Jones and Joe Rogan here.
What the hell is going on? Well, this is this internationalist Trotskyite arm running out of New York. And the current head, who's still alive, and we don't know how he's still alive, a lot of stem cells and baby's blood, we don't know, Henry Kissinger. We heard about George Soros all day, every day, until I said, does anyone remember Henry Kissinger? Well, who was Henry Kissinger's right-hand man, Scout? Who was his right-hand man in the State Department in the late 70s and the mid-70s? Well, it was none other than Dr. Steve Pachenik, the man who originally funded all the nutraceutical stuff via Goldman Sachs for Alex Jones and co. He funded all that, yep, with his investment company. That's a direct link to Henry Kissinger. Joe Rogan, he's an alt media star. But Joe Rogan's on $180 million a year contracts. Mm-hmm. He's not the alt media. Tucker Carlson, right, Prouts himself as the alt media. Man, those mainstream media. Tucker Carlson is the damn mainstream media. Alex Jones turns over $50 to $75 million per month. He is not a dissident activist. The guy is a hold and controlled Denology privatized military intelligence operation. And here they are, part of this giant network that is controlling the narrative, distracting, keeping people away from truthful narratives that we're speaking now, the big picture. So tactically you ask, well, what's going on? I said, I just believe strategically there's a giant fight. There's pushback, a lot of the military, intelligence.
So this is quite interesting. A lot of people are hired by intelligence agencies to be controlled opposition. And their job is to divide the nation. And then they'll split America into two. Joe Rogan is taking one side, then CNN can take the others. You know, they're trying to do that because Joe Rogan is apparently funded by the same people and is involved with this whole agenda. I mean, I didn't know that. I'm not sure how accurate this is, but, you know, it's a good caveat here about what's going on. And I think people should take it seriously. Now, shout out to the trucker convoy that's headed to Ottawa. There's a lot of trucks, you know, nothing but respect for them. They are truly fighting for freedom. This is the biggest event of protest that I've seen in the past, I don't know, recent memory. This is absolutely remarkable, folks. The number of truckers, family members, and supporters descending on Ottawa is now estimated at 500,000 people, 50,000 trucks. Yes, you read that right. Estimated 500,000 people. That is wild. This was January 23rd. I mean, it's been 3 days, and apparently there's more trucks coming from all around the U.S. as well. They are truly fighting for freedom. These guys are warriors. Shout out to all the truckers. You know, nothing but respect for you. A lot of reports saying they're watching videos, you know, people just watching these videos and are in tears because it's a beautiful sight. People are standing up for our rights. Shout out to all of these truckers. And Trudeau came out and said, don't worry about them. They're only 10%. 90% of the truckers totally disagree with this and love vaccines. I mean, Justin Trudeau is such a little bitch that's directly responsible for genocide, folks. Justin Trudeau funded the research in University of British Columbia for this lipid nanoparticle technology. He is in desperation mode every day. It's like Justin Trudeau is tweeting every hour on the hour. Did you get your booster? You better get your booster. Make sure you get your booster. If you're not vaccinated, get vaccinated. You know, it's just unusual. Is he a vaccine salesman? What is he? What is he doing? Never in history did a president or prime minister try to push shots this often. It's not just the vaccine, folks. It was a flu shot as well. He was like, you know, in full desperation mode for people to get their flu shots as well. He was repeating it every single hour. Make sure you get your flu shot, get your flu shot and your vaccine at the same time. You know, it's just very unusual. Like, they know exactly what's in this stuff. But a lot of things are happening at once, and now these truckers are headed to Ottawa. I don't think Trudeau is going to be there, of course, when all of them arrive. He's probably hanging out with Klaus Schwab on Epstein's Island somewhere. But, you know, it's very beautiful to see a sight like this with all truckers standing up for our rights and freedoms. It's a beautiful sight. So shout out to all those truckers. I don't know what happened to their GoFundMe. It reached millions of dollars and they took it down. That is just demonic. But I did expect that, unfortunately. See, they're already putting out their propaganda. CTV News, Canadian Trucking Alliance condemns protests by unvaccinated drivers. So they're trying to promote this idea that the majority of truckers are totally against this convoy. See, as you can see here, the vast majority of Canadian trucking industry members are vaccinated, the alliance says, noting the immunization rate among truckers is on par with that seen among the general public. They're trying to convince people that the majority of truckers, like 90% or so, are fully vaccinated and totally disagree with this convoy for freedom. I mean, you know, these scumbags at CTV News, Global News, CBC News, I mean, the media is the enemy of the people. We have enemies that are on top, but they could get nothing done without these Satanist scumbags at CTV News, Globalist News, and CBC. We need to hold them accountable, folks. Start making that list. It's going to be a long one. Yeah, Barry Weiss was on Bill Maher the other day. It was kind of funny. She's like, this pandemic is going to be remembered by the younger generation as a catastrophic moral crime. You know, Bill Maher is starting to speak out against it. Patrick J. Witt on Twitter said, congratulations on finally arriving at the same conclusion that half of the country did over a year ago. Another tweet was saying, Barry Weiss and Bill Maher, wait till it's safe to speak out when the government already loosened restrictions. Where were they a year ago? Now, also here, the argument is don't be angry at people for waking up late. Just be happy that they woke up. But these are agents of propaganda. All the mainstream news networks are coming out now I mean, why? What is the point? What do they have planned next? This is what we should be asking ourselves. There's something behind this. They're saying something is happening here, as you can see here.
I want to focus on some of the data that's coming out, because we're told, take this vaccine to protect your patients. And if you look at the UK safety agency data, there's some incredible stuff coming out, which shows that if you're double vaccinated and boosted, you're more likely to get infected than vaccinated. There's a study that's just come out of Israel, Gazit et al. They've looked at the vaccines and unvaccinated group, and the vaccinated group are 27 times higher risk of developing symptoms and 8 times higher risk of hospitalization. I don't want to get into the data, but what it's trying to say is this whole premise that take the vaccine, reduce hospitalization, make things safer, is actually nonsense. It's the other way around. And now even the CDC are coming out saying natural immunity is what's paramount. And why have we not talked about this? And if we come back to informed consent, it's about giving people choices and options. It's not just vaccine. Why have we never talked about any other treatment options? Because that's patient safety as well.
Dr. Ahmed, thank you very much indeed for coming in today. We'll be following.
I think there's a poll in the Sunday Express tomorrow showing that the majority of the public actually agree with you.
Yes, and that will be. That was a bit of an exclusive there, wasn't it, in the Express tomorrow about that poll.
So thank you very much.
Thank you very much indeed. And we'll be following the story on GB News.
Based GBN News. I mean, that is great. Even the UK government is coming out. I mean, I really wonder, are they going to admit that people have been poisoned? And it seems like there's going to be a country that is going to pull it off. I mean, people that are responsible. I don't know if they're in Israel, but it would make sense if they were, because Israel is at the fifth dose. So if it comes out that these vaccines are poison, Israel can come out and play the biggest victims in all of this. They can say, well, we injected our people all the way to the fifth dose. You know, we're definitely not behind all of it. Why would we poison our own people like that? That's why Israel is at the highest vaccination rate in the world and also highest case rate. I don't know, but it seems very interesting that it's playing out this way. I know you've seen the Croatian president calling out Macron. That was kind of funny. Croatian president said, you can't force vaccinate every single person, because if you do, you're guaranteeing people to die. You got rid of the death penalty, but if you force vaccines on everyone, you know there's going to be people with allergic reactions and they're going to die. So you are bringing back the death penalty in a way. And it makes sense. Like, even if it was a perfectly safe vaccines, which don't exist, they're all poison. But let's say there was. You can't force everyone to get this injection because you don't know if they could be allergic to one of the substances in the vaccine. If you forced everyone on Earth to eat peanut butter, how many deaths would there be due to allergic reactions? So if you make eating peanut butter compulsory for everyone, you're still going to risk high death rates. That's why he called out Macron on that stage, which was very interesting to watch him just look at Macron dead in his eyes and be like, what the fuck are you doing, you psychopath? He knows, great. As you can see here, a CCP agent, folks, Klaus Schwab's agent of the World Economic Forum. All at the same time, I'm telling you, three large studies just released show boosters are 90% effective in reducing COVID-19 hospitalization versus 57% of those plus 6 months since two shots. They also substantially reduce risk of infection. It's time to change policy. Full vaccinated equals three doses, all at the same time.
These new studies should erase any doubt about the importance of boosters at this point in the pandemic. I think there's been, unfortunately, so much muddled messaging that made it sound like boosters are a nice to have rather than something that's really essential. But these studies show definitively that boosters reduce illness and the chance of contracting COVID and therefore being able to give it to others. They also very importantly protect against hospitalization and severe illness, severe enough to cause you to go into the ER and to be in the hospital. And so I think it's time for us to change our policies. And by the way, this is not unusual. There are plenty of other vaccines that require three or four doses. Hepatitis vaccine, for example, is a three-dose vaccine. Polio vaccine is a four-dose vaccine. It's time for us to acknowledge that the COVID-19 vaccine is at least a three-dose vaccine. And I wish that's something that the FDA and CDC will very quickly revise in their definition.
What a crazy person. And they're going to keep changing it as well. Why can't people see that? The difference is they're going to keep saying, well, now it's a 4-dose vaccine. And now it's 5th dose. And now you need a 6th dose. It's like it's never ending. And the difference here is it's connected into a vaccine passport, global digital ID currency system that they're going to implement soon. And social credit score. Like this is completely different. And Dr. Leanna Nguyen is a 100% crisis actor. I'm sure you guys have seen the video of her after the Boston Marathon bombing. She was just there saying, it was very dangerous, you know. I saw a lot of dead bodies. Perfect response from Steph Farrell. If it was actually a 3-dose vaccine, Israel wouldn't be administering a 4th dose. You know? Like, it's so outrageous. But it's so weird that, you know, governments around the world are loosening restrictions. But these cycles are still pushing it. It tells me we're not done here, folks. There's a lot more craziness that's going to take place soon. They're not going to give up. New York had a lift of the mask mandates because a certain judge said it was unconstitutional. But now they came out and said it went up to a higher judge and he just implemented it and said, nope, we're going to keep the mask mandates in full effect. Would you look at that? I had so many people send me that saying, oh, see, they just shut it down. It's over. And then they came out and said, never mind. It's almost like they knew the pushback was too severe. They chilled for like 2 days and then came back and said, never mind, mask mandates for everyone. Now, I just watched this video. I don't know if you guys seen this, but it was what if you were injected with graphene? This video came out on October 24th, 2021. Can't believe I haven't seen it. But it's very interesting that graphene is one of the strongest materials known to man. And they've been discussing injecting people with this stuff because of its benefits for the human body. Not only that, but almost everything in the future, like cars and spaceships, they're all going to be made out of graphene, which is 100 times more strong than steel. I was reading something, I don't know where I got this, but this is very interesting here. It says, graphene oxide is the thinnest material in the universe. It is only a single atom layer in thickness, making it the ultimate razor. As it courses through the arteries, veins, heart, brain, and other organs, it nicks and cuts the interior walls. The results are thousands of tiny blood clots throughout the body that can only be detected via D-dimer test. Now you know why and how the blood clots are occurring. This is well known by the vaccine makers, and it is one of their depopulation methods. The harder the heart works and faster it pumps, the faster these razors cut through their platelets in the blood, causing severe blood clots. This is very interesting because I'm sure there's a lot of batches out there that are just pure graphene. Not all of them, of course, but I think whatever batch has those pure graphene razor blades, you're out of here when you get that. That makes sense now. I'm thinking the boosters might be majority graphene because you're hearing people that did well the first 2 times and get their booster and have thousands of blood clots around their body. Seen a video with a woman crying over her dad, saying everything was perfectly fine until his 3rd shot. You know, it's one of the saddest things I've seen. But look at what we have here, folks. What if you were injected with graphene?
This transparent strip is made of one of the strongest materials on Earth. And now, we're going to inject this into your body.
Wow.
Could it make your cells regenerate faster? Would this mineral ever leave your system? And is it in you already? This is What If, and here's what would happen if you were injected with graphene. Humans have been using graphite to draw since the Stone Age, and now we mine it to keep our batteries charged and machines lubed. But graphene, well, that's something new. This material, first seen in 2004, is only 1 atom thick. Found after peeling off transparent tape from graphite, the mineral stuck to the tape was named graphene. And it might be the first 2-dimensional substance ever discovered. But don't be fooled by its size. Graphene is 100 times stronger than steel and powerful enough to repel most gases and liquids. Discovering it has revolutionized battery and information technology, but if graphene atoms enter your bloodstream, what would happen to your cells? You can create graphene oxide by oxidizing graphite. And this nanoparticle, graphene oxide, can be used in medical treatments since it breaks down in water fast. Drugs injected into your system could be delivered to their destinations faster thanks to this cheap and readily available substance. Studies in lab rats have shown that graphene caused tumors to shrink. Other tests showed that graphene might even make your bones regenerate quicker. But all this comes at a cost. We'll come back to that. Some false reports online state that some COVID-19 vaccines are 99% graphene oxide.
These injections contain graphene.
Again, this rumor is false, but if that much graphene oxide entered your bloodstream, the consequences might be dire. Remember, our knowledge of graphene is limited. So, what do we know? Well, studies in mice show that graphene can build up inside the lungs. Graphene sheets only nanometers thick would grow and collect, causing fluids to build up inside your lungs. You could drown on the inside without even touching a drop of water. But what would graphene do to your brain? Well, if you were injected with graphene, a small amount could cross the dreaded blood-brain barrier. This roadblock in your nervous system stops bacteria and viruses from getting into your brain. Now, if graphene enters your brain, most of the mineral would dissolve over the next 2 days, but you're not in the clear yet. The jagged graphene nanoparticles could pierce your blood cells and completely disrupt their function. And if it damages your kidney cells, proteins could leak into your urine. This would make your eyes and ankles swell. This condition, known as nephrotic syndrome, would also kill your appetite. Well, you might have lost that already. While graphene has quickly revolutionized the tech and medical industries, we still don't know what this mineral can do to us in the long run. Is it a miracle of nature, or is it a killer in disguise? I mean, it wouldn't be the first time we tried putting something potentially dangerous in our bodies in the name of science.
Graphene can be injected into people. You know, like, they're admitting that graphene oxide is one of the thinnest materials in the universe, and they're saying they're testing it in mice, and it shrunk tumors in mice. Maybe can even build bones back better. Build bones back better. The quadruple B. But that's kind of interesting that they have been testing graphene oxide in mice. I mean, I don't know what the hell is going on with this graphene stuff, but seems like they've had plans to inject people with it for the longest time. And that video was quite interesting. If people want to watch it, it was on What If channel on YouTube. Folks, the fact that there is no virus is something very important for people to understand, because I think they poisoned people. I really do think something they put out there poisoned a lot of people and got people sick. I think a lot of food or water supply was contaminated, or they sprayed something over a lot of cities and got people very sick. They needed a lot of deaths to scare people into getting these injections. I don't think they just completely lied about all of the deaths and said, you know, they renamed everything. I really think they killed a lot of people. I do think it might have been, you know, nanobots being put into the water supply, something like that, that regenerate, self-replicating nanobots that you saw that they admit they have. But they themselves would have to do something like that. Remember, if they wanted to increase the level of security in airports, well, they pull off something like 9/11 and then they get to implement any plan they want. Happened here too. You kill a lot of people, it scares people, and then you can do whatever you want with them, redirect their thought process. So the fact that there is no virus is one of the reasons why they can keep changing what the symptoms of this disease is. At first, it was a lung disease, and then it turned into a blood disease. Something wrong with the blood. And they kept changing it, and now it's variant that mutated, and now it's just a normal cold. Well, it can change again to something else. The fact that there is no virus gives them a green light to constantly give us articles like this. Just look at all of the insane articles. This can only be done if there was no virus, guys. Can cannabis compound CBD combat COVID-19 infection? You see so many articles like this. Marijuana can cure it. Red wine, folks. Red wine can help fight COVID now. That's right. Wine can help you fight COVID. Not only that, but can Viagra treat COVID-19? One nurse claims it saved her life. Viagra. She took Viagra. What happens when a woman takes Viagra? That's interesting. Like, what gets hard on her body? A woman took Viagra. Her nipples hardened up. I don't know. But yeah, it saved her life. A woman from England got coronavirus, was put into a medically induced coma, and was rescued by Viagra. What the hell is going on here? You know, this is just so outrageous. But you see never-ending stories like this. You know, it's because COVID is bullshit. That's why you see so many stories like this. Someone catches a cold, you know, they get really sick and they'll take something. Doesn't matter what it is. And of course your body fights off whatever it is, right? And you get better and you're like, that thing that I took definitely helped. It doesn't matter what it is. This is why you're seeing so many new articles like this. They don't make any sense whatsoever. And people are not making the connections that your body is like magic. It generally heals itself. Doesn't matter what it is. So it's not the thing you took. This is why ivermectin works. This monoclonal antibodies work. It's like, no, your body can fight off things. That's what it's designed to do. Okay, so now you're taking Viagra just to save yourself. But prepare for more articles like this. It's going to be wild because these companies are putting out these articles themselves, you know? And Pfizer's coming out selling you a new drug just like a drug dealer. Like, come on, bro. Yo, this new shot right here will save your life, bro. You're like, I don't know about it. It's like, trust me, man. You take this shit right here, you go right back to normal. You're like, I go back to normal taking that third shot? Okay, give me some of that. And you take it and it's not that good, you know? And then the drug dealer comes out like, okay, that last shit, I'm telling you, that last shit wasn't shit. That last shit wasn't good in any way. This new shit I got, bro, you take this shit right here, you go right back to normal. I mean, you can taste normal. It's very close. You know, this fourth shit I got right here.
You just nigga. You remember that shit I gave you last week, nigga? It's nothing, nigga. It's nothing. This shit right here, nigga. Right here. This shit here, nigga.
And this is how Pfizer is selling their drugs. It's just like a drug dealer promising you they got the best shit. And then they get some new shit and they say the old shit was nothing. Oh, bro, that last shit I had, that was nothing. This new shit, though, you know, it's just like it's never ending. And they're talking to you like a drug dealer would. There's so many different articles about what's going to happen next. I really wonder because they're really putting it into the minds of people that something soon is going to happen. Just look at this. CBS News, guys. Domestic extremists have plotted to disrupt U.S. power grid. So they're thinking about doing something. It's like, should they go with the new virus, World War III, shut off the power grid, everything at the same time? You know, you never know. But they have so many options on the table. And they're telling you this. This is what's wild. It's like through the news networks around the world, they're saying power grids can shut off. You know, it could be either a volcano, internet apocalypse caused by solar flares, or domestic extremists have plotted to disrupt U.S. power grid. So who could that be? They're going to blame right-wing, racist, white supremacists, or whatever it may be. And then they can impose martial law, which is quite interesting because a lot of people have been saying this. A lot of people feel like a false flag is coming. Could it be a power grid shutdown? Or in Canada here, as you can see, Canada's Foreign Affairs Department targeted in significant cyber attack. Wow, would you look at that? Just like in Israel, they had that simulation of financial system collapsing, all banks being cyber attacked at the same time. And you go there and they're like, sorry, everything was to zero. We don't know. We don't have any records of anyone's money anymore. No one has any money, you know? That could be the case very soon because they don't do simulations for no reason. They always tell you what's going to happen. Remember, Israel did that Omicron, or what do they call it? Omega or something, about a variant that's going to kill a lot of people. And then Omicron happened a few weeks later. This is a very interesting YouTube comment I saw. This is wild. My wife is a doctor at a hospital here in Israel. And last week they told all the doctors that even if they get COVID, they are required to come to work as long as their symptoms aren't too bad. Yet my unvaccinated doctor was in quarantine for almost 2 weeks because three fully vaccinated girls in her classroom came down with the corona. All the vaccinated girls were allowed to continue learning. Complete insanity. Unless you realize that the rules exist to try and force compliance, not to prevent infection. Absolutely. None of this makes any damn sense. Very sinister. Toronto Star, folks. Look at the titles here. If an unvaccinated person catches it from someone who is vaccinated, boo-hoo, too bad. I have no empathy left for the willfully unvaccinated. Let them die. I honestly don't care if they die from COVID, not even a little bit. Unvaccinated patients do not deserve ICU beds. I mean, simmering divide over who isn't vaccinated. This is on the Toronto Star, folks. Absolutely. Never forget that they published this. This was August 26, 2021. We should never forget that these media organizations put this garbage out. And they're going to triple down too, as you can see with the polls. As you can see with the polls as well, folks. Poll suggests more than a quarter of Canadians think unvaccinated should be imprisoned. Would you look at that? Two-thirds, 67%, said vaccination should be mandatory for everyone 5 and up. When it came to punishing the less than 1 in 10 Canadians who choose to go unvaccinated, support ranged among the following options. Ongoing restrictions from entering public spaces, 77% said yes. Fines up to $150 per month, 61%. Having to pay out of pocket for medical expenses, 61%. Denied access to public health care, 37%. Denied renewal of driver's license, 33%. Imprisonment for up to 5 days, 27%. You know, it's just wild how the media out here is brainwashing people successfully. You know, I had more hope for humans. I didn't know they were completely this easily brainwashed. It really scares me for the next so-called plandemic, whatever that is. Could it be a monkey virus? I'm not sure. But even climate lockdowns, you know, these same people that totally accept everything the establishment tells them will put us into another lockdown with their compliance. People need to start waking up. Is it happening? I think a lot of people are. But I also see a lot of so-called MDs on Twitter saying, we need 3 doses now. As you can see here, okay, this is a Birgit Omegaba, RN, MED. Look at what she said. I'm hearing more and more people say they won't take their third dose. This is worrisome. There needs to be more PH messaging to inform people that it's a 3-dose vaccine. 2 doses do not protect you as much as 3. People need to know this. Just look at the first response we have here. I have my 3rd. I'll take my 4th, 5th, 12th, whatever is necessary to keep my family and I safe. You know? There's no end. You can't save some people. I'm telling you, there's just no saving them. You know, like, what does it take to break that cognitive dissonance apart? Like one of your family members dying? More MDs, guys. It's like if they have MD in their name, you know they're going to say some absolutely psychotic shit. Look, I wrote about the need for 3rd doses from September to December when many countries were already giving them. Many, including experts, argued with me. Many others went on TV and explained they weren't needed. These are the results of months of PR by those who were simply wrong. They just want, it's like, okay, just get more injections, you know? You know, just do it. I don't even care. Like, these people are not, there's no helping them whatsoever. They're going to get every single injection there is. See, as things get better in certain countries, It gets worse in some places like Quebec and BC. UK, you know, a lot of these places around the world are getting rid of vaccine passports, mask mandates. And here in BC, we triple down. And in Quebec as well, you know, you're loosening restrictions all over the place, but Quebec is still going along with it. Quebec announces that the unvaxxed are not allowed inside large stores unless accompanied by a health warden that will monitor them so they do not purchase anything except for food and medicine. Unbelievable. Let's watch this, shall we?
Today, big box stores that have a footprint of 1,500 square meters or more are going to have to ask people, customers, to show proof of vaccination. Now, pharmacies and grocery will be exempt from this. So if you're going into a Costco or a Walmart or something like that, where you might be going in to buy groceries or visit the pharmacy, in that case, an employee will have to be with that person as they walk through the store to make sure that they do not go and buy other products or other items that might be in the store.
Is it really getting better though? Is it, you know, this is war, people. This is war. I've been saying it for the longest time. They're just going to keep going 2 years into this and they keep doing this. What do we do at this point? Let's hope things start changing. As you can see here, Yale epidemiologist Dr. Harvey Wright, I can't say his last name, describes the UK data. It means that they are doing something that's damaging the immune response in a more general way. Let's see what he has to say here.
It's actually published a statement about this in their week 42 weekly report that showed that people who've had COVID and then get vaccinated have lower levels of anti-nucleocapsid antibodies. And this means, and since the vaccines don't address the nucleocapsid antigens, they only address the spike, it means that they're doing something that's damaging the immune response in a more general way than just what they do with the spike. And this is empirical data that Public Health UK has published. So we know that this is happening. It's not a theoretical issue about all of the niceties of laboratory biology and virology of things that could happen. It's a real thing that's been really observed by their testing.
It's very interesting that some places are admitting this. Like UK health data is showing now that natural immunity is working and people that are getting the vaccinations are the ones that are really getting sick. Some places are admitting it, but BC here, you know, Bonnie Henry is totally disregarding all of that and tripling down on this virus narrative and that the vaccines are very effective. I mean, just very unusual what's happening around the world. But if you really pay attention, you notice that this has been going on from the beginning. You know, some places loosen restrictions and others triple down. As you can see here, folks, this is in like, you know, a different language. I'm going to read this to you, actually. Let's play this. For a meeting with Professor Dr. Christoph Kubs Banner, I can't say it. He teaches psychology at the University of Rosenberg. He published articles in international journals on the methodological aspects of the coronavirus pandemic. During an analysis of the corona data, he came across an English study which alarmed him. The cornerstone for the English statistics groups was the mortality rate. The blue curve represents the unvaccinated and unvaccinated people. The orange curve represents the vaccinated persons. However, here in the English statistics, I noticed a very interesting thing visually. It is something I believe is very recognizable even for a layperson. The curve of the unvaccinated has a very peculiar peak. You can see it running along and suddenly the mortality rate triples or quadruples. It happens at different times. Then the English statisticians ask themselves, what could be behind this? They even realized that vaccination campaign was taking place in England at exactly the same time. At the beginning of 2021, the vaccination campaign began in England. First, it was mainly over 80-year-olds that would be vaccinated in this age group. The death curve reaches its peak at the end of January. The 70-year-olds were vaccinated on average 1 month later. Deaths reach a maximum at the end of February. Finally, in March, the 60-year-olds were vaccinated, and in parallel, there was marked increase of deaths among the unvaccinated. This effect appears completely absurd. Why are the COVID vaccine campaigns affecting the unvaccinated? They concluded that apparently in England, people who have received the first vaccination but had not passed the 2-week mark following the first vaccination, they were listed as unvaccinated. They definitely lied. Now we're seeing something very troubling. Presumably, this is the assumption of the English statisticians. The tripling and quadrupling of the death rate actually comes from the deaths. That occurred in the vaccinated group, but they were not past the 2-week mark post-vaccination. Interesting. So they totally lied about the data. That is wild, folks. That's where I'm going to leave it. So there you have it, folks. There's so many things happening at the same time. It's like they're getting ready for the next card in the deck. I don't know what the next card is. The final card is the alien invasion. Remember that. That will really bring all the governments together. But for now, I don't know what is next. Could be climate lockdowns, could be another variant. They really have all the options on the table, and we're going to find out in the next few weeks what's going to happen. Could it be World War III? I don't know, but the big bankers might want it because that could be the last card for them in order to collapse Western civilizations completely. Is this World War III? That's why they have Russian troops all alongside Ukraine, right? Invading? Let that sink in. Why would any country invade another country in 2022? Why would that even happen? Because the big bankers gave it a green light to get the heat off of them as the COVID narrative collapses. That's why. So that's where I'm going to leave it, folks. If you like this podcast, if you want to support it, links are in the description for donations. No ads, no sponsors. No one's helping me doing this. So it's all me. So if you really like what I do here and if you want to support it, please become a Patreon or subscribe star, or send me a donation. Links are in the description for your support. It's greatly appreciated. If not, that's cool too. Just like the video, leave a comment, subscribe to the channel, share this with your friends and family. There you have it, folks. This is Steve Eyes. You're on the Eyes is Watching channel, signing off.